Hello and welcome to the Nation's Blind podcast. I'm here with Aneel Lewis.
But who are you?
Oh, thank you for asking. Yeah. I'm Melissa Riccobono.
Melissa Riccobono.
How are you?
My partner in, not crime, in information and sharing, in education and outreach.
And hopefully a little love along the way.
A lot of love.
I mean.
A lot of love.
Yes. Yeah. For the members and the listeners.
Yeah, and each other.
And each other,
yeah.
Yes.
It's all good.
It is.
You're listening to the Nation's Blind podcast, and we're glad that you're listening to the Nation's Blind podcast. We have an interesting subject today, and really impressed with the amount of member participation that we got to help us have this conversation as well.
Yeah, it's been super exciting. We loved all the feedback. Thank you, and definitely keep it coming. There'll be some other ways that you can participate in feedback that we'll talk about at the end of the episode.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And just in case you guys didn't really know, it's convention time.
It is definitely convention time, without a doubt.
And that's a whole different thing. When you're here at the National Center, it's like, oh, it's a wonderful thing to behold, but it's like what I imagine the Amazon storage room looks like with the automated things going through with such precision. Yeah, we're automatons, you know, moving toward one specific goal of making our best convention ever, and we're well on our way to doing that.
We are. I know President Riccobono's very busy writing speeches, mm-hmm. and I've been doing some scheduling for the presidential suite. I'm also involved with the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children, and I have the privilege of setting people up to speak at different workshops and things. So a lot of fun, a lot of work, but a lot of fun.
All that activity with all of our members and different divisions is interesting. And to that end, I need to give Mr. John Berggren a significant shout out. He's our Executive Director of Operations here at the National Federation of the Blind Journeying Institute. And his responsibility is handling all the logistics about the hotel and the meeting planning and all that. And just God bless him.
He does such a great job. And, you know, he's one that you'll hear from a little bit during the convention, but he's definitely kind of the unsung hero and the very quiet leader who just gets things done behind the scenes so that people who are watching from the audience often don't even know that there was anything really wrong or amiss. John's just on top of it. He takes care of it, and it's not a big deal.
And but we make it look so easy. Many people who come externally to participate in our convention say it's one of the best well-run conventions they've ever participated in.
It's true. We certainly know how to put on a convention. Yeah. I guess we should, hopefully, by, 77 is this?
Yeah, but you'd be surprised. Many other organizations have had meetings and conferences longer than we have, and they still can't quite get that formula to work for them.
I've been, I mean, even to some meetings I've been, and I think, oh, my goodness gracious.
Yes, you're like, please,
really?
let me run this.
Exactly. I have so completely been there.
Yeah, exactly. And to the rhythm of the convention, President Riccobono's in the process of planning a tremendous convention agenda for us during our plenary sessions. I'll have the insight on some interesting speakers that we're going to have this year. So I'm looking forward to it, and I'm hoping that each and every one of our listeners is looking forward to it as well.
I hope so, too. And if you can't be there in person, please tune in on the stream. It's not the same as being there, but it certainly gives you a really good idea of what's going on in the convention. And I actually know of a young woman. She was maybe 13 or 14 at the time. And the first convention, her mom actually attended, but not the young lady. But the young lady listened on the stream. And her mom had to come home a little bit early. And when she came in the house, her daughter said, "Mom, I've got to go to convention with you next year. And we've got to listen to the banquet together."
Beautiful.
And so they did. And sure enough, the next year, mom and daughter, and they actually brought a friend. So it was really, that's one of my very favorite convention stories. And I think the stream really matters and it really makes a difference.
Yeah, I know some people, speaking of the banquet, which has the banquet speech, which is the highlight of the convention, some people who are unable to go to the convention actually have remote banquet parties, is what I hear.
I've actually hosted one when my daughter Elizabeth was born. She was only about a month old, so I just decided I'd taken our other daughter when she was only about 6 or 7 weeks old and just thought to myself afterward, you know, it worked out fine, but that was a little much for me, just having had a baby, to recover and
there
be ready for that. And Elizabeth was going to be even younger, and I thought, I want to, but I just can't do this. And so we did end up having a banquet party filled with food and chocolate and lots of great things. And then all listened to the speech. My mom was actually there to help me and a friend of ours. And yeah, so it worked out really nicely. So, I mean, if you can't be there, at least have a good party and bring friends together to enjoy the speech.
Beautiful. We asked you all last month to send us your magical convention moments. And we were really impressed with the number of individuals that stepped up to share that information, and we'll be able to share some of that with you during this podcast. Unfortunately, we won't be able to share it all. I was really impressed. We've been asking for listener participation. You guys really surprised us with the amount of information you provided for us this month. So,
yeah, nice hot topic. I guess we got to bring more of those, and Yoli, maybe we're missing the boat somehow. But
is that what it is? Well,
I don't know.
Our listeners should give us some feedback.
Then. That's right. We'd love topics of what you want to hear. So I had the pleasure of sitting down with Pam Allen, who
She's
is
one of my favorite people.
She is one of my favorite people as well. And we talked convention. I mean, imagine that, since the theme of the show is convention.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I thought so too. But we did a really fun interview all about convention, sort of the do's, the don'ts, the inside scoop.
Lots of don'ts.
Yeah.
A lot of fun do's.
That's right. That's right. So let's take a listen to the inside scoop all about convention.
You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast. I'm Melissa Riccobono, and I am pleased to be here with Pam Allen. Pam is the first vice president of the National Federation of the Blind. She's also the director of the Louisiana Center for the Blind, and she has a lot to do with first-time convention goers. And so we thought it'd be good to talk with her a little bit about your first-time convention experience. Hey, Pam, welcome to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
Hey, Melissa. Hey, everybody. I'm really excited to be here and looking forward to a great convention.
Yeah, well, me too. So I guess we should start by, if you could briefly describe why a person should attend a national convention.
Well, a convention is so full of so many wonderful things. I know that some of the people that are listening to this podcast will have been to conventions, and many are first-time attendees that we look forward to meeting. The thing that I love about attending our national conventions is the energy and the power and the camaraderie that we all get by coming together each year. Of course, there's great information that's shared. You have a chance to network with professionals and blind people from around the country and really around the world. For any parents of blind children who are listening, it's such a great way also to meet other parents and for your kids to meet blind adults. Of course, there's also many other opportunities to learn about technology and, most importantly, to learn about the incredible work that we in the National Federation of the Blind do every day. And coming together at our national convention allows us to really celebrate our accomplishments and also set plans for the year ahead.
Well, that's wonderful. It makes that's a great commercial for convention. So if someone has made the leap and they've decided to attend convention for the first time this year, what should they be prepared for? And if you could talk a little bit about all the great things they should be prepared for, and then, you know, convention can also be a little bit stressful, maybe, especially
yep.
your first time. So what are those things that they should look out for?
Definitely. And we all are here to help make that convention experience a positive one. But I know for my first convention, I'm sure it was the same for you, Melissa, that it was exciting, but also I had never been around so many blind people, so many canes and guide dogs and people, you know, all in one space sharing and trying all to get to the same meetings at the same time. So it was noisy and energetic, but also I think definitely it really helps at our national conventions, you know, to understand that there will be many people, a couple thousand people every year come to our conventions, mm-hmm. and growing and growing. And so understanding that, you know, thinking about your schedule and how you want to kind of plan out your day, realizing that it does get crowded, especially at certain times. And so being prepared for that. And we're going to be sharing throughout the podcast some tips that we have, but understanding that most importantly, that all of us are there for the same reason. Mm-hmm. So even in the crowds, even when it gets a little congested, and, you know, the people are waiting in line, or, you know, try to kind of step back and take a breath,
yes.
You know, just allow yourself to get a little space to, you know, get time to go where you need to go. But remember that we are all there together, and don't be afraid, you know, to ask directions or stop and, you know, while you're waiting in line, sometimes that's a great time to, you know, get information or to realize that even in the crowd and in the noise, there are also, everybody is there for the same purpose. So yeah. If you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed, try not to, you know, let that get to you. Just step back and really enjoy the moment.
Absolutely. And I think that's especially good to remember near elevators. You know, I always just think,
because
sometimes people just try to rush in or rush out. And I always just try to take that deep breath and just, you know, okay, I am going to get there eventually. Like, I would much rather be patient and let some other people pass
exactly.
me. And if I don't make that elevator, then I push the button and I wait for the next one. And, you know, those kinds of things. And what you said about standing in line is so true. I mean, I've met some people in line that I'm still friends with. And we always kind of joke about, like, the first time I met you was in line.
Exactly. Exactly.
So,
you know,
that's a great place to meet people.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, remembering too that people at our conventions, just like some people listening today, some people are very new to blindness. Some have been blind a long time. Some, regardless of that, some people may have be using their, getting their first cane, their first cane travel lesson, or just have gotten a guide dog, or, and so realizing at convention that everybody is, you know, walks at different paces. Some people are in a hurry. Some people are slow. Just, you know, kind of pace yourself and be aware of the people around you. And, you know, we all work really hard to be welcoming and respectful of each other in all the different levels that we are. So I think you'll find that at our conference.
I think that's true. And just be polite. That just makes such a difference.
Yep.
And it goes such a long way. So think just little, like, excuse me, you know, could I please
get
past you? Or could you please step backwards because, you know, the elevator is going to open? Or just little things like that, trying to remember
to
say please and thank you. Even if you're in a hurry or you're a little bit stressed out, again, just taking that breath and remembering to be polite is a good thing.
Definitely. Especially as the week progresses, because we're there for about a week, which is awesome. But, you know, as the week progresses and the days are full, remember, pace yourself. You know, we have events starting early in the morning and going on late into the evening. And so that kindness and civility definitely goes a long way. And sometimes you might, you know, accidentally bump into somebody or, you know, I'll be trying to get through a tight space, and that's okay. If people are kind and courteous, it makes it a fun experience instead of a stressful one.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. So we've talked a lot about, you know, the things that maybe are stressful. I think the energy is one of the great things, the knowledge, the information. I mean, I think you really covered those very well in your first part explaining about convention. So why don't we move on to what should convention goers in general not want to miss? And are there things for first time convention goers in particular that they should not miss?
Yeah, I know I feel like every year we get more and more things on our agenda, which is so awesome. So I know it's hard to sometimes prioritize because you wish you could be in six places at once. But I would say some of the things that I really look forward to, kind of going in order, we have a lot of great pre-convention seminars the first day. So that's always great to check out when the agenda comes out. You'll have a chance to do that. The resolutions committee meeting is a very important meeting. It's a great chance for people to talk, to hear about policies and what we're discussing in our organization. And when the resolutions committee is a great way to join that. And that's on Wednesday afternoon. We also have on Thursday morning our board meeting, and that's our first large gathering where we get to hear from President Riccobono and all of the different things that are happening, our scholarship classes introduced. So many things happen at the board meeting. And I think everybody, you know, some people think board meeting, they don't realize it's open to everybody. So, and it's very informative, and several different awards are presented. So I would really encourage everybody to be there to experience that.
And you get to meet the scholarship class for the first time too, which
is really cool. Which is really awesome. Such an impressive group of scholarship finalists that we have. So that afternoon, we refer to this as Division Day. And for those who have been to convention or if it's your first time, this is a great chance to learn from and network with professionals. Our divisions are themed around different, often professional occupations or common interests. So we have our lawyers, computer scientists, educators, people who work in human services, people who work in rehabilitation, a host of divisions, as well as our parents of blind children. So that's a great time. And you can kind of hop around to the different division meetings if you want to go to the sports and rec division and then spend some time in the educators division or whatever. The meetings generally are, many of the divisions meet that afternoon. Not all of them do on Thursday afternoon, but many do. And so that's a great chance to really get some, especially if you are wondering how a blind person does X profession. That's the firsthand you can learn from people who are engaged in that. Also on Friday morning, we start with our opening session. And this is, I think, for many of us, one of our highlights of the convention. I mean, the electricity and the excitement that happens as people are all gathering for President Riccobono to call the session to order on Friday morning, and just the cheer that goes up from the crowd is amazing. So you definitely want to be there. It's a roll call of states, and so it's a great time if you are coming with children. It's a lot of fun. We know many of them will be at NFB camp, but the opening session on Friday morning is definitely very family friendly and full of lots and lots of energy. Of course, we have, you know, incredible presentations throughout our general session. You also want to make sure that you're there for our presidential report when President Riccobono talks about what we have accomplished this year and some of the highlights of the work in the National Federation of the Blind under his incredible leadership. And so the presidential report is something very important. And of course, the banquet, which happens on Sunday night this year, the highlight of our convention, where we hear President Riccobono's banquet address and our scholarships are presented. It's an amazing event and one that you will never forget. And for those who are here, who are listening, coming for their first convention this year, I just want to mention too, our rookie roundup. And that is happening on July 3rd at 8:00. And that's a time for those who are at our conventions for the first time to come and meet with veterans of our convention. And we're so excited that Melissa, you'll be there, and President Riccobono, and hopefully we've been very honored to have Ori was with us last year.
Yeah, so all the you're, kids are coming.
Yeah,
this
that's
year,
right.
So maybe all of them will be there.
So we are.
Who knows?
Yeah, the Riccobono family will. We always love to hear firsthand, and we also at the rookie roundup go over some tips and give some great information, and we have lots of veterans on hand to make our first timers feel welcome. We have some special door prizes. You'll get a special ribbon for a first time attendee, and everybody's favorite, a tote bag, which is handy to have to carry lots of things that you'll be collecting all week. And so I would really encourage you to come to the Rookie Roundup. We also have online our first timers guide. And so you can check that out ahead of time. It's at nfb.org, and it'll also be available in hard copy at the event. But if you want to read it ahead, it has some great information about our organization, about our history, and kind of some tips for convention as well.
Well, that's great. And that will definitely be a link to that will definitely be in our show notes. So check that out. So we've got two more things, one question, and then we're going to do a fun lightning round. But let's do the question first. You talked a little bit about this earlier, but what should convention goers do if they do run into some type of difficulty? Who can they go to for some help, or where can they go for some help?
Yeah, I think this, I'm so glad you asked that question. It's so important because, again, sometimes in the hustle and bustle of the week, things come up. And so we want to make sure that everybody feels comfortable and has their questions answered. So there are a couple of tips I'd give for that. First of all, we offer, there'll be an information desk. There'll be one in the lobby for the first few days of the convention. There'll also be an information desk later in the week as we start general sessions right outside, right by the general session meeting rooms. That's a great place for information, for lost and found and other things. So that is a great place. We also, of course, our presidential suite, and we loved having visitors. President Riccobono and Melissa, I know you always make everybody feel so welcome there. So the presidential suite is a great place to visit or to call. to get information. I also really want to stress to people the importance of contacting your state affiliate president. Some of you who are listening may just be new to our organization, and so this might be your first time getting to know your state affiliate president, but your state affiliate president is such an important point of contact, and so please don't hesitate to reach out to your state president if you have questions or need things. Also, just a quick reminder for those who may have not been to the convention, I wanted to mention once general session starts, we sit by state, and the state president is generally sitting by the flag. There's a flag by each state with the state's name in print and braille, so it's very easy to find. And you can also ask as you go. The states are arranged alphabetically. And so that's an easy way to find state presidents. So those are all great resources. They're also volunteers. We have lots of ambassadors. We have ambassadors that are federationists. We have UPS volunteers that are there to help. We also will have a phone number to reach out and call in other ways. If you have questions, you can get that information from the information desk or presidential suite. The main thing is we want people to make sure that you feel welcome, and don't hesitate to ask a question. Don't feel like, oh, I should know this, or I'm embarrassed, or I don't know how to read, you know, Braille yet. I might need help reading this agenda or reading the sign on this meeting room. That's why we're all here to help. So please make sure to take advantage of all those opportunities.
Wonderful. Okay, here's the part of the podcast I've been looking most forward to, or this particular interview, our lightning round of our top 12. Now, I was going to say top 10, but then I thought of two more. So it's our top 12 favorite tips for successful conventions. So are you ready for this lightning round?
I'm ready.
Okay, so number one, and these are now in no particular order. Number one, bring a sweater or a blanket, because the meeting rooms can be freezing. And I know this firsthand because my poor guide dog, even 1 year, was all curled up by my feet and she was shaking because she was so cold. And if a dog is shaking and wearing a fur coat, you know it's cold.
Very important. Now, another really important thing to keep in mind is going to the store to buy snacks and buy food. There is a grocery store very close to the hotel. Grab especially quick breakfast, lunches, and also bottled water. Really important to stay hydrated. So that's a really great way to save money and to always be prepared.
Definitely. Number three, bring a backpack or some other easy to carry bag, maybe your tote bag from the Rookie Roundup, because you never know what you might purchase, because there's people selling things all over the place, and how much you might have to carry. You might leave your room with very little and then all of a sudden be juggling a bunch of things. So you just want to be prepared for that.
Definitely. And we talked a little bit about this, but back to, you know, taking care of yourself and being kind, not letting the stress get to you. Make sure you take time, you know, eat well, go to sleep. If you know, I know it's hard to say no to all those social commitments, but sometimes it's important to get a good night's rest. Take a little time if you need to eat, step into your room and eat lunch, you know, in a quiet space. Just be kind to yourself so you can really pace yourself.
Definitely. The next one is one of my favorite things to do, and this is really where I truly felt welcome. And I can be sort of an introvert, which people are always surprised by, but this kind of really helped me be an extrovert, jumping in where needed. If you see someone who seems like they're struggling with something, you can offer to help them if you feel comfortable. This is a really good one. If your affiliate has a table in the exhibit hall, offer to work a shift. That's a super fun way to get to know people and to yell, you know, such and such for sale, Louisiana spices, or whatever, to get people over to your table. And then there's also ways to help by marshaling. You can be a talking sign, meeting room this way, board meeting this way, escalators this way. It's tons of fun. And again, it's just a great way to meet people and just to be a part of the crowd doing something that's really helpful. And that's one of the best things about the National Federation of the Blind. We don't just give people things, we give people a way to give back.
I love that. That is so true. And you're so right. It's such a good way to be part of our family. And next thing that I think would be really helpful, again, we talked a little bit about the importance of state presidents, but a lot of affiliates you will hear make announcements from the podium during general session, or your state president may share this ahead of time. affiliates meet in what are called caucuses, and that's a great way to meet people in your affiliate. But if you're new or you haven't had a chance to do that yet, to get to know the affiliate members and to, you know, talk to the state president, and also sit with your state during general session, because it's a really helpful way for people to be able to find you as well.
And along with that, don't be afraid to approach Federation leadership. The leaders truly do want to get to meet you. So don't Definitely. Be shy. I always thought, oh, so-and-so wouldn't want to meet me. You know, why would they want to meet me? And they actually do. So if there's somebody that you really want to meet, or you're really interested in talking with, usually they'll be sitting with their states during general session. That can be a really easy way to have a really quick, quiet conversation to either set up some time to talk or to exchange some contact information. But don't be afraid to do that.
Definitely important. And we have talked about, and I neglected earlier to mention the exhibit hall. I want to just toss that in there as a really important thing to take some time to see the exhibit hall. But the agenda is going to be out in a few weeks online. And what I love to do, our agenda is huge. And so I like ahead of time to go through and make a little mini agenda and write down the things that I really want to attend, where they are, the times. So I kind of have that with me, and that's manageable. I have the big agenda to refer to as I need it, but the mini agenda really helps me pinpoint those things that I really want to see and experience.
Absolutely. And I love this next one. Don't leave your room, if possible, 10 minutes before the start of general session, or 10 minutes before the board meeting, or 10 minutes before anything you want to attend. Mm-hmm. This is a huge hotel. Give yourself time to go downstairs, and going down early also allows you to meet and greet people in your affiliate, or just meet and greet people in general.
Yeah, that is a
and
major way.
Stress.
Exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. That is definitely important. Yeah. I know that all of us live in a cashless world these days, which is super convenient, but I will put a little plug in here to make sure that you have some cash, especially small bills like ones and fives. A lot of affiliates are selling different things like raffle tickets and snacks and all kinds of things. So you want to have some cash and make sure that you, for tipping, of course, that is really, really important. And also making sure that you have a way to keep money budgeted so that you don't overspend, whether you keep it tucked it in your wallet, a certain allotment for the day, or keep it in an envelope each day. It's kind of a handy way to keep that going.
It is. And, it can be really easy because you're seeing all these cool things throughout the day. And sometimes I come back to my room at night and I've been like, where did my money go? And I kind of have to go back through. So it can be really easy to spend, especially because it is cash. You can kind of have it go out of your wallet a little faster than you think it will. And so please just be aware of that. Also, as far as bringing cash, a lot of divisions need you to, welcome you to pay dues in order to join a division. And some will take credit cards nowadays, but others won't. Now, they'll usually work with you so you could send a check later, or you could bring a checkbook certainly too, although who uses checks anymore?
Yeah, exactly.
You can usually do that. But anyway, cash is a really good thing. And sort of speaking of money, please make sure you don't put your room charges or hold your room on a debit card. The problem is that the hotel will authorize your card and hold money for the entire charges of the room, and also for incidentals often. And if you're not expecting that amount of money to be frozen in your account, that can be a huge problem.
Yeah,
and it has caused really big problems in the past. So please be aware of that. Figure out another way to pay for your room. And again, if you don't have a credit card or you're having trouble with that, this would be a great time to talk with your affiliate president right away about that, so you don't have that problem when you get to convention.
Definitely. And, I'd just say again, when we're thinking about convention, pacing yourself. We mentioned this earlier, but sometimes if we need to, take a moment to step back if you have small children with you, or if you're traveling with your family, or, you know, other people in your group. Sometimes if you need a few minutes, you know, if your child needs to take a nap one afternoon and you can listen in on the stream, which is so awesome that we have our live stream, or, you know, think about those things to make your convention so that you really can experience the full week. You don't want to come to, you know, Saturday or Sunday and just say, oh my goodness, especially because Sunday is it's a full day plus the banquet. So yeah, making sure you're taking care of your guide dog. And I know, Melissa, as a guide dog user, you have some specific tips for that as well, but making sure that you keep that in mind.
Definitely. And particularly with guide dogs, you know, just making sure that you're keeping food schedules as consistent as you can, making sure that you give your dog enough water. The hotel is dry for everybody. Mm-hmm. So don't forget your dog. Make sure, first of all, that you know where the guide dog relief areas are and clean up after your dog. If your dog does have an accident in the hotel, let somebody know as soon as you can so that it can get cleaned up properly. And definitely, just make sure that if your dog seems stressed out, or, you know, they're panting really heavily, or they're just not acting like themselves, don't be afraid even to leave a meeting or to leave what you're supposed to be doing to take care of your dog, because your dog has needs too. And, you know, it's very important to make sure that you're keeping those needs in mind.
Definitely. Well, I hope these tips have really will help people to have an enjoyable convention experience. I know that convention is something to which I look forward every year. You know, whether this is your first convention or you've been to a bunch, every single convention is uplifting and motivating, and it really cements my commitment to the National Federation of the Blind and the work that we do. And we couldn't do that without everybody that comes to convention and works so hard throughout the year. We know that some people, you know, may not be able to be there this year, but again, we have our live stream, and we hope that people will tune in and book as many people as we can. And please, again, come by and make yourself part of the National Federation of the Blind. We need everyone.
We do. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Pam, for joining us. And I really cannot wait to see you and so many of our listeners in Orlando.
Excellent. Look forward to it. Thank you again.
Thank you.
And that's why Pam's one of my favorite people.
Yeah, no, yeah. What great information. Yeah. She has so much to share. Really, if you're going to convention, Pam Allen is one person you definitely want to look up. She's a great lady. And as we were talking about in the interview, Federation leaders really do want to get to know Federationists. So don't be shy.
There you go. I really like meeting the Federation leaders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you are one.
They're real people.
They are real people.
Yeah, well.
People like to meet you too, Anil. They do.
Well, I'm glad that people like to meet me, because I like to meet people.
Yes.
We're stuck in a vicious cycle here. Why don't we just pivot to the next part of the podcast?
that sounds like a great idea.
Okay. I think you had the opportunity to interview President Rick Obono for the privilege today.
I did. Yeah. And we, again, shockingly, talk all about convention.
Well, there you go. I think.
But the topic in the privilege is the presidential suite, which is one of my very favorite parts of convention and one of President Rick Obono's favorite parts as well.
Well, excellent. Well, let's listen to the presidential privilege.
You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast, and this is the Presidential Privilege. How are you doing this morning?
Great. Thanks for having me. My privilege.
I'm privileged to be here. I haven't done a privilege with you for a long time.
Well, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you. 16 years.
That's right.
It's a long time.
What a privilege.
So, thank you. Yes, I feel the same way. So, anyway,
we have a topic to talk about.
We do. Convention is our topic, and in fact, I was, you know, you made me off track. I was thinking of the first convention that I really went to as an adult, and you met me at the airport with some flowers.
There you go.
So, I when you said happy anniversary, that's kind of the road I went down. We are talking about convention, but we really want to talk about the presidential suite. So, why don't we start? You know, what is the presidential suite, and why do we have one? I think it's a very interesting thing that we do as an organization.
Well, the presidential suite is what it sounds like. It's the suite that's hosted by the president of the organization as a touchdown space for people to come visit, especially with the president. I don't know how long we have had a presidential suite proper at the convention. It certainly goes back many decades. I could only speculate about it. I've never really looked into the history. You know, our organization is built on members who elect leaders to represent them. And that's a bond of trust that the leadership has always taken seriously. And the presidential suite is a way for the president of the organization to create interaction with the members. Now, you can't really meet in a substantive way with everybody who comes to the convention for half an hour or so, because you just don't have enough time. Our convention is too big. But the presidential suite provides a place where you can have meetings, and some people just come to hang out. Some people just come to get a quick selfie. And a lot of those interactions do happen. And it kind of is the central nerve center for a lot of communications. At one time, the communications came through the presidential suite, and we used radios to find people around the convention. Of course, that has evolved now into cell phones and even to some extent email. But we still use the house phones in the hotel a lot, and it's also a way to engage and find the leadership when there are problems. So it's a community sort of space to get to know the leadership. It's also a tool that we use for managing affairs during the convention.
Definitely. And will there be popcorn this year? You know, that's your favorite. There's generally popcorn.
Yeah, well, there's been certain things at the presidential suite that we've had for a long time. M&Ms have been in the presidential suite for a long time, principally because we had a president who name was M&M initials. But we have other things, coffee, and we pour a lot of coffee at the presidential suite.
Yes, we do.
And we offer popcorn in the afternoons. That's a new thing that we've been doing the last 4 years. The idea is not that you can get a full meal
right
by coming to the presidential suite. No. You can't, but you know, we want to be hospitable, and that's just part of the whole community space. So it's a kind of a space where people can touch down for a moment in the hustle and bustle of the convention.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of our brand, right? Welcoming,
yeah,
and
that's
loving.
Right.
And so it's great that we have the suite. And not only can you meet with the president, but you can meet with the first lady. I'm in the suite quite a bit, as much as I can be. And this year, our three children will be with us at convention. So I'm sure they'll be bouncing around the suite from time to time. And, you know, we really do want to meet you. There are people that seem surprised or that just don't know. They're kind of worried about going to the presidential suite. And they think, well, you know, why would you want to get to know me, or why would you care about me? And I know for me, it's so exciting to meet new people. I mean, everybody that's at the convention helps to make the National Federation of the Blind tick and work, and we need everybody. And so that's probably my favorite part of convention, is being able to meet with people, connect with them, even if it's just very briefly, and just welcome them and let them know that, you know, I'm very glad that they're here.
You know, the presidential suite is also a place to get to know other Federationists, and some people do come and hang out and use it as a meeting point and an opportunity to meet some other people. The folks who staff the presidential suite are all members, and many of them leaders of the organization, folks that are really supportive of the office of the president and of our leadership. Some leaders in their own right, national board members and affiliate presidents, some who are leaders who are just at the grassroots level and who want to be helpful and are trusted folks in the movement. So the other part of the suite is you just get to meet a lot of folks in a concentrated way, folks that have participated in leadership seminars and folks that are emerging in the organization. So it's also just kind of a place where you can be sure you're going to find somebody interesting,
yeah,
and a place to have a seat for a moment and maybe a little refreshment. The presidential suite has also come to be kind of a place where you can really get to know emerging leaders of the organization. I remember being invited to work in the presidential suite, which I thought was a great honor. Still think it's a great honor that we get to extend to folks. And I had no idea when I showed up what I was supposed to do or how I was supposed to do it. And eventually I got into the place where I was supposed to run the phones and take messages and serve as traffic director, which is really kind of an interesting job because there are a lot of people trying to get to the president for one reason or another and a lot of problems to be solved. And it really helps you understand the real heartbeat of our organization. You know, our convention is big and dynamic and it works because there are so many people chipping in to make it work. I remember in particular one time I was working the presidential suite. I'm pretty sure it was in Kentucky. And the fire alarm went off.
Oh, I remember that convention very well, yes.
And the fire alarm was going off for a while, and people said, well, should we clear out? And I knew that the president was still in the back having a meeting, and I said, well, you know, till the president leaves, I'm not leaving. We're still open. Eventually, we all did clear out of there after the alarm went off for a long enough period of time. But it's you just kind of don't know what's going to happen sometimes, and that's true of our convention. I also think about a lot of just great experiences that have happened in the time that I have served as president in the presidential suite, folks coming by that have been a real highlight for me. And at the Rosen property, we have a piano in the presidential suite, and that kind of tends to draw people in and make it kind of fun, too.
Oh, definitely. We have some great musicians that have come and played on the piano. And I think my favorite moment from last year was a young man from Louisiana who was
Jordan,
yeah. Who was just
Jordan Young.
So excited to meet the president. I mean, it was just really neat to see.
He was more polite than a lot of the adults.
Oh my gosh. And he was so, it was very cool to see that interaction. So absolutely. And I would just love to publicly thank all those that do work in the presidential suite because they're giving up a few hours of their time. And I know many of them consider it an honor and are very grateful and happy to serve. But we do appreciate it because the presidential suite would not run and could not run without their help. And we know that when we need to leave or when President Riccobono is in a meeting or whatever it is, we know that the suite is in really good hands and that the people that are coming into the suite will feel welcome, will be taken care of, will have some help if they're in need of some help. And we couldn't do that without the volunteers that we have. So thank you to all of them.
But I don't think there are other organizations of the size and scope that we are where at every level of the organization there is a hand-in-hand partnership. And we do want our leadership to be accessible. And
yeah.
That is hard. Again, you can't spend time with 3,000 people in a week exactly. But we do our best to make that happen. And I think what happens is we end up meeting a lot of folks that are new to the organization. Mm-hmm. And that is impressive and an important part of our brand. And I was just talking with someone today who's not part of our organization about blind people in their state. And they said, do you know so-and-so? And I said, well, as a matter of fact, I do. It's not someone well-known. It's an average, everyday blind person that is facing some real challenges, has faced some real low expectations. And because I knew that person and the situation, the person that I was talking to, which was someone that's thinking about supporting our organization, was astonished that I would even know to the level of detail that I did. And that's really because we have a value in our organization that we do have levels. We have a president and we can only have one national president at a time. But
thank goodness.
but that it's the value is that the leadership really does represent and reflect the membership. And if that's not happening, then we have the wrong leadership. And the presidential suite is an expression of that. I think one way we would know we had the wrong president is if they said, well, we're going to have a closed presidential suite. Couldn't even imagine it.
That's absolutely true. Anything else you'd like to share with our members about the presidential suite or about convention?
Just excited that the convention's coming up. I hope everybody will come by, and I hope everybody is planning to be with us in Orlando, where we're going to announce where we're going in 2019, which will not be Orlando. Mm-hmm. It will be west of the Mississippi and somewhere east of Japan.
Well, that's comforting. Thank you for that.
You know, it's interesting. For me, for many of us, we're going to be at the convention because it's the convention and the where it is matters, but not as much as the fact that we're having the convention. There are many conventions where I don't even get to leave the hotel except to get fresh air, and I've hardly even missed anything because there are so many great things happening, so many great people to meet, and so many things to do in the short amount of time we have together. So I hope that in the short amount of time you might have at the convention that you'll make it a priority to come by the presidential suite and say hello. And if it's your first convention or your 30th, that you'll do that. And don't hesitate to come by the presidential suite. Just don't come by at 1 a.m.
Yes. When we're closed, we are closed. So, yes. And we do. Yeah, yes. We do appreciate that when you don't come at 1 a.m. or somewhere really late. Well, thank you very much for sitting down for this privilege. And to transition from this privilege, actually, we have three voicemails that we're going to play from members of ours. We're playing voicemails, I think, for the first time, which is really exciting. And these members are going to talk about their magical convention moments. So let's take a listen. You're listening to the Nation's Blind Podcast.
I have so many great and favorite moving and funny convention moments. Some of them I even remember. Hello, it's Kevin Worley from Colorado Springs, Colorado. My first convention, 1983. Haven't missed one since. And I think for me, the one that really stands out is probably the beginning one. And that's when the folks at the Austin chapter said, hey, you know, I know that you're barely employed, but we can throw you $50 and a bus ticket and then find a bunch of roommates and good luck. And it was truly a momentous experience in terms of being freaked out because blind people were in control and running everywhere. And then Dr. Maurer said to me, Kevin, how are you? Nice to meet you. Here, stand here and say convention hall this way. The first task I was ever asked to do. And then, of course, the moment was when I heard Dr. Kenneth Jernigan speak, the other half of inertia. Always my favorite one because I think the first one tends to be your favorite one. And I was sitting way, way in the back. I'm not even going to tell you what I was wearing because it would just be embarrassing today, but I barely had any clothes. I didn't have any money, you know, like a lot of blind people, particularly back then, but even today. And so I'm sitting way in the back of the room, and I heard Dr. Jernigan start to speak, and I was listening to this guy, and I'm like, whoa, he's the guy I heard on the radio in the 70s. And, you know, next thing you know, I'm up, and I'm walking toward the stage. I'm just, it is really, I don't want people to be crazy about it, but it was very mystical for me. It was very compelling, and I just want, next thing I know, I'm listening, and I'm standing right up by the head table. I had actually, he moved me to just, without even knowing what I was doing, really, just to kind of move up and be closer to this new cry of freedom and independence and possibility for me that I'd never considered.
Hi, everyone. It's Leslie Hamrick from NFBI, and I wanted to share with you one of my most magical moments at National Convention. It was during the 2012 National Convention, during one of the general sessions when we were introducing the act to end subminimum wages. And we were talking about it and sitting there saying that subminimum wages were unfair, discriminatory, and immoral. And we all must have chanted this phrase about several different times throughout the general session. And during that whole time, I felt so into it. It's so part of the group. Like we were one collective action advocating for this legislation. And today we are still advocating for this legislation, but that was the beginning of it, that energy, that common bond that we all had in general session to start the ball rolling to end subminimum wages. This is a moment that will always stay with me forever, and I will never forget it.
Hi, this is V. Gaspa, and my most magical convention moment took place at my first national convention in 2015. I knew I was going to be leaving my Virginia home for the Great Garden State that fall and wanted to get acquainted with the New Jersey affiliate. I walked into their caucus meeting with a stomach full of knots and was instantly blown away at how kind and accepting everyone was. I am now so happy to be involved in that affiliate, and I'm glad I was able to muster up the courage to attend the caucus meeting.
Wow, I love those voicemails. Thank you again so much for the feedback, and we wish we could use all the voicemails that we receive, but we thought those three particularly emphasized some great convention points.
Yeah, absolutely. Really captured more than just the convention as an event, but as an experience.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We got some feedback from Facebook and Twitter, too. Do you want me to start reading
Outstanding.
Those?
Outstanding. Right, social media. This
yeah,
is great.
We can't leave the social media out.
See, I just love the fact that for months we've been giving people the ways to contact us via phone, via email, via social. And they're using all of them. You guys
super,
keep that up.
I don't know that we got an email, so I guess that's the only one we're missing. But anyway.
We did get one email. Interestingly enough, one of the voicemails was an email that was a digital recording from the phone that
okay.
was emailed.
So yeah. we did. Perfect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So this is from Stacy Hardy. I happen to know she's from Texas. And she says, last year I attended my first national convention. The whole week was magical. However, these two things stand out most. First, I was one of the lucky winners to win a door prize.
That is lucky.
This is quite impressive considering I was among as many as 3,000 people. Yeah, it is impressive.
Have you ever won a door prize?
I have won one. Oh. My poor husband has won none. The funny
no,
thing
No, he won
is,
one last year.
Oh,
that was
sorry.
His first time
he
winning
did.
In all these many
he
years.
He finally,
yeah.
finally did.
And the kids have won door prizes.
I was just going to say, I think Oriana, her very first convention, she won a door
there you
prize.
Go. There
She's
you
a
go.
Tiny baby. The second was assisting with putting on two very successful seminars. One was for the Parents Division, and one was for the National Association of Guide Dog Users.
Excellent. Outstanding.
And I can just say that she did do an excellent job with the parent seminar. She did great.
I mean, and that's where the volunteer energy, really pays off.
Oh, it really does. And she's really willing to work. She's a great lady.
And thanks to all of our members that do that hard work, that heavy lifting during convention.
Absolutely. So this one's from Jonah Wright, and he says, in 2016, I attended my first convention as a national scholarship winner. The night before banquet, my new friends and I decided to go for a dip in the hot tub.
Oh.
Suddenly, we don't just work at convention. We
relax.
We relax sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, fireworks lit up the sky with the most dazzling colors and sounds. At this moment, with my friends, I realized that the Federation is my home.
Awesome.
Since then, I've met so many amazing people, and I wouldn't trade my Federation family for anything in the world.
Outstanding.
Yeah, that's really cool. And you know what? It's not just those moments in session. Sometimes the most powerful moments are moments when you have a chance to just connect with some people.
Yeah.
So I really love that.
That's the
one.
Strength and energy of the organization,
that's
the relationships
right.
that we have, the bonds that we share with one another.
That's right. Lisa Irving from California says, mm-hmm. I attended the national convention in Chicago in 1995. That, funny fact, that was actually, I didn't stay the whole time, but that was actually my first convention experience
and
as well.
That was my first convention also.
For real?
Yeah, 1995 Chicago.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. Anyway, while I was at the convention, I received a job offer. I love that.
Look at that.
Love that. I was so excited. So there you go.
Good for her.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't think that happens all
I
the time
I did not,
either.
By the way, when I was there in 95, I did not receive
No,
a job
I was still in high school. I did not either, although I bought some great stuff at the exhibit hall. I do remember that. And, the other thing is we do have the job fair. So, maybe everybody doesn't get a job offer at convention, but there's probably more than Lisa who have gotten one, or maybe who don't get it at convention but get a job offer afterward because of their participation in the job fair.
And speaking of the volunteers, I mean, Dick Davis has put that career fair together, and it is growing to be something just phenomenal.
Yes. So Antoinette Elizabeth Cervantes says, In 2010, I attended my first national convention. Hmm. I was honored to go with the help of my counselor. When I got there, I was a little overwhelmed, but I made great friends who were there to help me and show me the ropes.
I love she says a little overwhelmed.
A little overwhelmed. Yeah. It can be.
It can be a lot overwhelmed.
It can be.
But
and
a lot
she
of
says,
fun.
From then on, I knew that I belonged. And that was really...
That's beautiful.
That's beautiful. Yeah. Absolutely. All right. So that was Facebook. Now let's go to Twitter.
Okay.
See, let the tweet. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Sorry. I digress.
That was pretty good.
Chris Walker says, my magical convention moment was my first convention, NFB 2016. The love for the Federation family and the friends I met the entire week. It definitely was not just a magical moment. It was a magical week.
Oh, excellent.
That's true. It is a magical
week.
Very
well said.
From Jonathan Franks.
Very well tweeted.
Very well tweeted. Yeah. Absolutely. Winning a national scholarship! ! You know, Twitter's brief.
That's a magical moment.
Sums it up there.
2002, though, was the best scholarship class ever.
Nope. 2000.
We've debated this before.
I know. I know.
I think I locked it down. 2002 was
2000. Great class. And that was it, actually, from the tweets and from Facebook. So thank you very much for your feedback. Please keep it coming.
Yes.
In fact, we're going to ask you for feedback again. This time, because of our interviews and the whole topic of convention, we would love you to contact us with either your favorite convention tips and tricks or something you really wish someone would have told you before your first convention that, you know, that maybe we didn't cover because, you know, we tried to cover a lot, but, you know, there's only so much time. We don't want you to be listening to this podcast for 4 hours or anything crazy. So
let us know what we missed.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we can add it to our documentation to make sure that people are well-equipped and prepared when they have their first convention experience.
Yeah, definitely, because I'm sure that there's going to be many first-time attendees, and we just hope that you are able to meet people and just start making your own magical convention moments.
Yeah. Very well said.
Well, thank you. Well, in that that being said, please contact us. I think you know how by now, but just in case.
Many more have found out how. That's great.
That's right. So you can give us a call, 410-659-9314, extension 2444. And I really loved being able to use the voicemails and actually hear from members in this Members' Voices segment.
That was cool. Please keep
those coming.
Yeah.
You can also like us on Facebook, search for National Federation of the Blind. You can follow us on Twitter and tweet to us at @NFB_voice. And you can email us at podcast@nfb.org.
There you go.
Well, thank you so much, Anil.
Well, no, thank you, Melissa.
Oh,
and
thank you
to all our listeners. We really appreciate it. We're really feeling engaged now that we're getting that two-way communication, which is very helpful. So please share with us any ideas that you have for future podcast topics. And we'll continue to bring the Nation's Blind podcast to you every month. And until then,
remember, you can live the life you want.
Blindness is not what holds you back.